We are completing our series today on being overcomers. This has been our overcoming series. We're not just holding on, we're overcoming. Amen? I've enjoyed this series. And we'll start a new one next Sunday. We want to complete what we began. And honestly, the subject of being an overcomer is so huge. You could study it for years. So let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for the word of the Lord as it goes forward. Father, I thank you for opening up hearts, opening up ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. I thank you, Lord, that you help me communicate what you've given to me today. Holy Spirit, be our teacher today. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you divide the word, that you feed us today. Lord, I thank you for the meal that you've prepared for our spiritual man. I thank you, Lord, that you're nourishing us today, God, that you've got a good meal plan for us today. And so, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for hungry people today, hungry for more of you, hungry for your glory, hungry to know you more in a deeper, more intimate way. Father, may the spirit of wisdom and revelation rest upon this congregation. May the blood of Jesus be sprinkled upon us today, O Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have prepared us for right now. Lord, that you're opening our ears to hear. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. We thank the Lord. Let's read our first scripture together. 1 John 4:4. Says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We have overcome them. We talked about this last week, that them is overcoming the world, overcoming our flesh, and overcoming the devil. Those are the three areas that we struggle with. But because Jesus is in us and he is greater than anything in the world. And remember, Jesus overcame the flesh. Amen? He walked upon this earth. He took on the form of flesh and he overcame the flesh. And he defeated the enemy at the cross. So that same Jesus is on the inside of us, the Spirit of the living God, and it is greater than anything we face out in the world. Okay, so our identity in Jesus Christ is that we are overcomers. That's our identity. That's our position, is that we have overcome. We are overcomers. We're going to just take a little detour from the outline for just a minute. As I was studying this week, the Lord reminded me of the word of the Lord he gave me at the beginning of the year. And in that word, I'm just going to read a little of it to you. It was the word of the Lord for the church. It was the word of the Lord for the body of Christ. And the word says, I keep hearing the word greater. There are several greater scriptures in the Word of God. The two scriptures I think of immediately when I hear the word greater is 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now see, God put this scripture in my spirit at the beginning of the year because it is significant for the River of Life family. The other scripture was John 14:12, which says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater, say greater, greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. This year will bring greater victories, which means greater battles, greater deliverance, and greater revelations and understanding of the move of the Holy Spirit throughout the earth with greater unity and camaraderie, joining together in the body of Christ. In a vision, I saw armies of intercessors coming together to unite in prayer against the onslaught of the powers of darkness over regions. Great darkness is covering the earth, but the light of God in us is greater. Say it again. Greater. God is releasing a greater anointing to stand against the wiles of the devil. The spirit of the Antichrist is boldly manifesting with greater attacks against Christians, greater persecution towards Christians and churches who stand for righteousness. But God, say, but God, is giving us a greater understanding, greater revelation of how to use the word of God to decree and to declare and to legislate as the ecclesia in the courts of heaven. God has called the church to pray, intercede, and legislate his will from the courts of heaven into the earth. The church is the power in the earth today to bring forth God's will and God's plan. As I read this word, I got so stirred up again about what God wants us to do in this season. We are taking our place at the gates in the natural realm and in the spiritual realm. We are decreeing over our lives that according to 2 Corinthians 9:8, 10, and 11, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. God gives us an abundance for every good work. Tell your neighbor, God has a supply. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality and causes thanksgiving through us to God. God is doing a great work. And the Spirit of the Lord went on and spoke to me, and I just want to finish out this word because it has a lot to do with being an overcomer and understanding our position. Are you taking it in? I'll have Jay put it on the web, the PDF of it. The Lord said, we receive God's abundant grace and supernatural provision to accomplish every good work. There's no lack in the house of God. There's no lack in the kingdom of God. Everything God has asked us to do, he'll have finances for. Amen? We will increase in the fruits of righteousness, and we will be enriched in everything. Tell your neighbor, I'm enriched. We will see a greater demonstration of God's power manifested in our churches, in our families, and just as we go about our everyday business in the world. I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, he's releasing a greater deliverance anointing. Demons will flee just like they did when Jesus ministered. God has already set up divine appointments for us, and I hear the Spirit of the Lord say these are Kairos times for his Spirit to be poured out on all flesh, not just saved flesh. And the demons that have entrenched in people's lives will come out at just the mention of his name. In Matthew 8:28-33, there's a story of two men who were demon-possessed. The scripture says they were exceedingly fierce. When the demons saw Jesus, they began to cry out to him and talk to him. And Jesus said, go to the demons that spoke to him. And the Bible records that the demons came out of the men. We will hear demons cry out because of the presence of Jesus in our meetings, and people will be set free from demonic strongholds by God's grace and power. A greater anointing God is releasing. Greater. Because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And even though great darkness covers the world, we are the light of the world, and God is increasing the light that is in our life. As the anointing is increased, our light shines brighter. So we are to overcome. To overcome means to conquer. It means to prevail. It means to get the victory over. We prevail and we rule over. Our connection with the world, that pull of the world, we rule over our flesh. We rule over the lust of the flesh. And we have all authority over demonic powers. So the Lord has been speaking to this church specifically. I wanted to read the word again so that it's fresh in your spirit of the greater victories, the greater battles, the greater coming together and uniting as the body of Christ, as an apostolic hub and an apostolic center. That is our destiny. That is the word of the Lord over us. From the get-go, we have been teaching, training, and equipping the saints for the work of the ministry and activating them in the gifts of the Spirit. You should be able to hear the voice of the Lord. You should be able to pray and hear Him speak back to you. You should know the word so you know how to pray over your situation. These are things we teach. If you don't know, there's nothing to be ashamed of. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. Just call us. We want you to be successful in all that God has called you to do. And together we will stand in the gates of our city, and we will stand in the gates in the spirit realm to legislate God's will from heaven to earth. This is what we do at 24-hour prayer. This is what we do when we come together for corporate prayer. It is about what the Heavenly Father wants. Because if we seek Him first and His kingdom, everything else gets added. There's no lack in God's house when you put God first. When you put Him first. So God says that we are overcomers. And let's go to our next scripture, and let's read that together. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commandments. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the victory that has overcome the world. You see, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So Jesus identifies us as overcomers, but we don't always feel like them, right? Is that true? Jesus said we're overcomers, but we don't overcome every time. And we don't necessarily wake up in the morning feeling like an overcomer. In the book of Revelation, there are several benefits and promises, and they're in your outline. We're not going to read through all of them this morning, but John, the same one that wrote this other book, is talking about he who overcomes. Like you haven't overcome yet, but if you do overcome, this is your benefit. So to give you a just a natural illustration, when you're married, you're identified as married. If you fill out a job application or you fill out a questionnaire or something and it asks married, divorced, single, you check married. You check that because your identity is married. That doesn't necessarily mean that you are happily married, but it does mean you're married. So just because we're overcomers, as God identifies us, we can check that box. Yes, God says I'm an overcomer. Doesn't mean that we always feel like or act like an overcomer. When you're married, you can be miserably married. True? Amen. But you're married. So to have the benefits of a marriage relationship, you've got to work at it. You've got to apply some principles. You've got to work at that relationship. Learn how to serve your spouse. What makes your spouse happy? Because when you serve someone else, they're more willing to serve you. And so there are things that we have to do within a marriage relationship to build that marriage so that we're happily married. So we check that box and we go, yeah, I'm married. Hallelujah. Happily married, not miserably married. So God has said we are overcomers. But we have got to work the overcoming. We've got to work at it. I thought about Joseph. Joseph's dad gave him a coat of many colors. Have you ever heard that story? And he just gave it to him. It was free. It was beautiful. His brothers were jealous of his beautiful coat. Well, God has given us a garment of salvation. It's free. We receive our salvation, and our salvation is free. That garment of salvation, we didn't pay anything for it. We simply received it as a gift. But when you study Joseph's life, there was another garment that he received, and that garment was a garment of character. He had lots of tests and trials. And we have lots of tests and trials in life. We are challenged in many ways. But it is through that challenge that our character develops, that we are transformed more into the image of God. Through every battle, there's a victory. And when the victory is won, we're an overcomer. Amen? So God has called us overcomers, and we can overcome because He's greater. As we humble ourselves before the Lord, as we obey His commandments, we will overcome. Tell your neighbor, we will overcome. Martin Luther King, we will overcome. Amen? We will overcome. So in February, I need to find where my notes are here. Excuse me just a minute. Back in the beginning of February, the Lord began to speak to me. When was it? Not February, it was January, because it was when I went down to the Word of the Lord, and Bishop Hammond was at Apostle Leon's church. And during praise and worship, Apostle Leon comes up to me and he said, Dr. Janet, I want you to give a corporate word to the church. And I'm thinking, this house is packed. If I would have known you were going to ask me to give a word, I would have prayed a little bit more today, okay? But he said, I want you to give a corporate word. So, you know, I'm like, yes, sir. And so then I really started to pray, hallelujah. And God is faithful. And the corporate word that he gave me, I don't remember all of it in detail. I'd have to get the recording and type it out. But the main idea was that the Spirit of God is hovering over us. He's hovering. Do you remember? Because I talked about it here in the church. God is hovering over us. He's hovering over our ministry. He's hovering over our family. Just like the Holy Spirit hovered over the darkness and the chaos that was in the earth. And when God began to speak, the Holy Spirit began to change the earth. And light came forth. And the Lord was sharing that he's hovering over our ministries. And he wants us to join in with him and begin to speak his word into those situations. We can get real good at talking about how bad the problem is and how awful things are and this isn't working right and this ain't going my way and so-and-so's mad at me and I'm mad at so-and-so and I'm not going to do that anymore and I don't like that and this isn't right. It's not like it used to be and it can just go on and on. Lord, help us. But the Holy Spirit is hovering. He's hovering over our ministry. He's hovering over our lives. He's hovering over what he's called us to do. It's a time of birthing forth and coming forward. See, God wants us to join him in this work. He's not going to do it all for us. But he's provided everything that we need to do it. And so that was the main idea of the word in January. And I kept praying about it. Lord, you're hovering over us. What are you bringing forth in this season? Because we know God is birthing something new. He's birthing something fresh. This is an apostolic kingdom time. And so things are not the same as they used to be. And so in February, and some of you may remember when Pastor Cheryl preached on February 17th, she started preaching, and I heard the Spirit of the Lord say to me, we're in an incubation period. Okay, an incubation period. That goes right along with the hovering and the brooding over, because the hen sets upon the eggs for an incubation period until the chicks are birthed and they come forward. Right? And so the Lord began to talk to me about how he was brooding over us, hovering over us, and we were in an incubation period. And the elders and us prayed about it. We did a lot of talking about that and just what that could mean. But I want to tell you, in February, I left here on February 23rd, and on the 25th and the 26th, I sat in some teaching that just brought so much revelation to what God is telling us. And I want to share that with you this morning. The teacher was Tim Sheets. And he's a prophetic apostle. And he was teaching at the Apostles and Prophets Conference, our leader summit that we went down to in February. And he said that this is a time that the prophetic words that God has spoken over us are going to spring forth and become life. He said, they're connecting in this moment. And the word of the Lord has a message in it. It has a seed in it. And so the seed is is sprouting forth. And he said, there'll be a billion soul harvest and outpouring on millennials. Prodigals are coming home, and healings and miracles, signs and wonders are accelerating. And he said, the synergy of the ages has begun, the anointing and the outpourings has begun, and there's an activation of the prophetic words has begun, and there's a governing intercession that God is releasing, and the angels are aligning and waiting for assignment from the intercessors here in the earth. Because when we pray God's will, and we connect heaven to earth, the angels that are around us, God begins to give them orders. They just declared my word. That's my will. Go, take it. And there are more angels with us than you can imagine. And he said, at the beginning of 2017, he had a vision of angels dropping plumb lines all over the world over apostolic hubs. And they had to be the plumb line. How many of you know what a plumb line is? Most of you know what a plumb line is. An easy definition would be it's a string with a weight on it, and it the pull of gravity will bring it center. And that's like a really simple definition. But the angels were dropping these plumb lines, and they had to be in exact alignment with the vision of the apostolic hub. And all were different in their vision. And the angels were putting it meticulously in proper alignment with heaven's vision. And he said, you've entered the fullness of time. You've entered the second apostolic age, an era of signs and wonders, where the ecclesia, the church, sits on the throne of its region, influencing through our spiritual kingdom. You see, that's the word of the Lord God gave me at the beginning of the year in January. Watch the ecclesia rise in its purpose, for it will rise and rule as it was intended. It will arise and rule, and it will align with heaven. And he said this, speak to the fog and command it to lift so that you can see this new era. So, Father, this morning we speak to any fog that would be in our spirits, in our souls this morning. We speak to that fog and we ask you, Lord, to lift it off our River of Life family. Lord, that we will see what the Spirit of the Lord is doing in this season right here in our church. Thank you, Lord. Supernatural things are happening. Thank you, Lord. And then he goes on and he says, the Spirit of the Lord says to the church, I'm aligning heaven with earth to open, get this, the birth canal of my kingdom, and it opens, says the Lord. And I've turned the breaches around. And he said, welcome to the season of awesome birthings. Welcome to the season of greater and greater glory. A new degree of glory is now rising over my remnant. It has been hovering over my apostolic centers and over my churches. Wave after wave of every increasing glory has begun. Surge after surge of my power and presence will be seen. Welcome to combined anointings. Welcome to the king's anointing upon his heirs. You're entering a season of real tangible glory. My presence will be seen upon an uncompromising, tell your neighbor, uncompromising compromising. An uncompromising remnant. For my hovering glory is the womb of gestation for my spirit to move to birth on earth. Just as hovering glory, Holy Spirit sat brooding and incubating over the remnant in the Acts, in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Birthing the New Testament church, birthing new gifts, birthing a new apostolic and prophetic generation, birthing new leaders, young and old, male and female, Jew and Gentile, birthing new levels of ministry, birthing a fivefold ministry at levels never seen before. Thank you, Lord. Birthing a new level of kingdom power and authority in my name. So you are now moving into another season of greater glory. My glory has been hovering and my womb is full, says the Lord. My spirit, get this, has been brooding and incubating for decades to complete gestation of promises due. I was about coming out of my seat. Jesus. New leaders will now be birthed. Joshua and Caleb's will rise. Stephen's and Philip's and Ruth's and Esther's are rising. A whole new generation of believers will now be born again. And a new Jesus movement far greater than the 70s will be born. From the womb of a greater anointing. The millennials will possess the land. New heirs are rising to their positions of inheritance. A Joshua generation will arise and cross over and possess my promise. Radical millennials have been brooded upon in protective custody of the Holy Spirit. He has shielded them from unbelieving wilderness wanderers. Their angels are now connecting them to destiny and now from ever increasing glory. Stay with me. The glory will reflect upon them like sunlight upon the earth. They will not be the lost generation, says the Lord. They will not be the lost generation. But the Lord says they will rather be an army of valor. My ecclesia, my church, will now function at higher levels. It will now rule and reign with me as intended. Thank you, Lord. A new level of ruling power is now birthed upon the land. Dominating authority over hell's kingdom is now being birthed and activated at levels never seen before. Anointing given to my heirs will now function as my glory levels surge. My spirit has hovered, brooded, and incubated to bring to earth the greatest harvest of all times. The gestation has ended, says the Lord. It is due season. Tell your neighbor it's due season. Welcome to the season of the kingdom of glory. Welcome. There is no more delay. There is no more delay. This is the apostolic season. And prophetic words are connected in this moment. Angels are breaking things up. There's revival angels that God has activated and is releasing into the earth realm. And we will be those to sit with God in governing authority upon the earth. And the enemy will forever be under our feet. Amen. Can you give the Lord a praise? So God has been speaking to us since the first of the year to bring us to this revelation and understanding that we are overcomers. And He has positioned this church for such a time as this, for the glory of the Lord to be released. We should be out sharing those testimony books. We should be knocking on doors. We should be praying with people who need to be prayed for. And when you need prayer, you should call the elders of the church. When you need prayer, come on down to the altar and receive prayer, receive help. There is no shame in asking for help. The Lord said if we just ask Him, He's going to give us wisdom liberally. He's going to lavish His love on us. He has been hovering over us, church. And in 2017, you can just think back, God dropped that plumb line over River of Life. And there's been lots of changes in people and positions since 2017. Is that true? And people say, what is going on? And I would always say, God is doing something fresh, something new, and He's moving and positioning people where He needs them and wants them. And what He is planning to do here, they obviously weren't part of the mix. That doesn't make them bad people. It just simply means God dropped a plumb line and He aligned what He wants us to do with heaven and earth, and His Holy Spirit has been brooding over us to birth forth His kingdom here in the earth. To not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To not be ashamed of the Holy Spirit. But to embrace the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of God that fills the earth. God is omnipresent. He is omnipotent. He is everywhere. But the scripture says God sits on the throne in heaven and Jesus sits at His right hand. But the Spirit of the Lord covers the earth. And He has been hovering over us. I know He's hovering over other places, but we are here. We are a part of this work that God has called us to do in this city, in this region, to make an impact. I encourage you, join in when you can. And don't miss Sunday mornings. God is on the move, and it takes all of us expecting God to show up and expecting miracles. And we're going to get ready to receive communion. And after communion, we'll have a time of prayer. Right now, I'm going to ask the elders if they'll come forward, because miracles happen when you receive communion. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood that was shed for you. We invite you to join the River of Life family for communion. If you're a guest, if this is your first time here, if you are born again by the Spirit of God, you're a part of the body of Christ. We invite you to join us today as we receive this communion. And we are going to take this communion in faith, knowing that God is doing something spectacular in each one of our lives. Can you tell somebody next to you, God's doing something spectacular for you? Can you tell someone else He's doing something spectacular for you? I'm going to ask you if you'll start our communion song. We're going to sing this song as you come up and take the cup and the bread. We ask you to take it back to your seats. And Elder Jim is going to facilitate it this morning. And we will all receive it together. So let's stand and let's come today as the family of God to receive. Thank you, Jesus, that you're hovering over us and you're birthing forth your promises. Thank you, Jesus.